Super Gamecast 64, episode 103. Today on the show, we got so much gaming news and stuff for you. We're talking about that Dad of War, the new God of War.
Dad of Boy.
We're talking about Yakuza 6. We got some mobile updates from some mobile games, some new monsters to hunt in Monster Hunter, tons of gaming news, and we got the whole crew. But before we get to the whole thing, does somebody want to hit that DJ?
DJ.
Oh, I thought you actually wanted me to hit him.
Hey, why'd you hit the DJ, Kevin? He's gone. It's Super Gamecast 64.
At least not the video.
It's a comedy show. It's also a video game show. If you don't laugh, you're a sociopath. I'm your host, Matt. With me, as always, we got...
It's me, Kevin.
Nice intro. And we and back from the arid desert of Arizona, we have...
A man-shaped pile of coyotes.
That's my... Oh, we just blew out the mics. Oh, man, they'll have to get adjusted later.
Hi, I'm Tyler. I'm back from the desert.
I'm not convinced you're not a man-shaped pile of coyotes.
Okay.
They live in the desert.
So, guys, we started the show off right out of the gate. Tons and tons of laughters. Before we continue with the laughters, we have to let you in on something sad. So, as always, we do our 420 episode. This year, it wasn't as always. We missed it mainly due to a Greek god with a red paint streak on his face, but we'll get to that later. Since we missed it, we have to do the remembrance.
The remembrance in honor of that little green plant
the
we
plant,
all know and love so
you know,
much.
Here's a small thing. I was doing some research.
Okay.
Many people like to tell you that this small green plant is not poisonous, that you can't, quote, OD. But doing some Google research, I found out that you can indeed OD. Also, people might not know what 420 is if you're a little bit behind the times. 420 is, of course, Lima Bean Respect Day. And since we were not on the show to respect lima beans, we have to remember them.
Also, I know this sounds like a goof, and we like to have fun here, but I'm just Google it. Like, literally Google it. It is Lima Bean Respect Day. There is no joke to be had here.
I know. All you weeders and your smoke potters.
Weeders, yes.
Your weeder pots. You guys like to blaze your green kush, your fucking kind bud. But we got to remember what the kindest bud is, and it's our buddy Lima Beans. Do you guys want to hit us with some lima bean facts?
Lima beans are bigger than most beans.
They are?
That's a fact.
How much bigger do you know?
Well, the biggest bean I know of is a navy bean after lima beans.
So then that would be approximately 32% larger than
sure,
a navy
at least,
bean.
At least 3% larger.
I can feel this bit going downhill. So before we end this bit, I just want to put out a public safety announcement. A PSA for those who like acronyms. Kevin.
Yeah.
Are lima beans okay to put in your gullet?
Hell yeah, they are. They're good for you. They're good for your body. They're good for your health.
Stop, Kevin. Stop with your misinformation. Because according to Google.com, I was talking about lima beans with my friends
Don't
and family.
Don't you mean www.google.com?
Sorry.
Okay.
Worldwidewebweb.google.com.
Right. Yeah.
I was in discussion with my family. We're talking about lima beans on 420, as most families do. And then when I turned on my phone, Google had already searched lima beans for me. So, thanks, Google. That's a joke about how they listen on your microphones. Lima beans actually contain linamarin. I'm not reading
Don't
this
hurt
off
yourself.
Google. Linamarin, which...
I feel like that's probably not how it's pronounced.
When consumed, decomposes into the toxic chemical hydrogen cyanide. So, if you don't want to die when you eat your lima beans, you gotta cook them for at least 10 minutes. Better known fact, or not better known fact, but lesser known fact, Sam Fisher always kept about 3 uncooked lima beans in his pocket in
Actually,
case
I heard
shit
he
got
had,
bad.
I heard he has a hollow tooth. And
full
it's got a fucking bean
beans.
In it.
Full of lima
it's just
beans.
Got a bean in it, and he crunches that bean whenever he's compromised.
If someone breaks in the room, they're like, Sam, I know you're Sam Fisher. And he's like, oh shit. No, the lima bean was raw. I'm not feeling the effects of the cyanide. Good thing he's got actually all of his teeth are hollow. All of the cyanide.
Actually, there's not even teeth. It's just beans. He's just got beans for teeth. What?
And if he ever wants a snack, he just fills his mouth up with some chili. Like
hot water.
That nice bean soup there. All right, guys, that's enough of the goofs. I'm sick of the goofs around here. This is a very, very topical show. And it's a very video game show. No comedy at all.
I got one more.
Yes.
One more lima bean fact.
Yes.
Lima beans are, in fact, the best part of mixed vegetables.
Without a doubt?
Yeah.
Is this confirmed by the USDA?
It's confirmed by the ME.
Oh, that's the only place I trust when
that's
I go for my lima
that
bean.
Matters,
my lima bean news. So somebody's calling me right now on my phone, and it says scam likely. So whenever that happens,
scam? I know scam.
Scam.
Our good pal scam likely.
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Yeah. Likely and their kids scammy.
Yeah. Little scamp.
I can't wait till credit card comes out. Credit card scam likely is going to be a great one, guys. There's been some news happening in the video game world. We're coming up on E3. You guys know E3. Remember E3? We'll have our pre-3 episode, as we always do. But before we get into E3 stuff, we gotta talk about the stuff that's happening now. Not a ton of crazy stuff, and also some crazy stuff. We'll start off with a low ball here. Tyler.
Yes.
Do you like Disney?
More than both of you combined.
Do you like big shoes? Do you like characters that wear really, really big shoes?
Like Goofy?
I don't know how to answer this question.
Loaded. Alright, let's stop the episode right now. Super Gamecast 64, episode 103. What's the deal with Tyler's shoe hate? What's the deal with Sora's giant boots? Square Enix recently announced that Kingdom Hearts 3 doesn't have a release date, but will have more than one game inside of it. It seems that Square Enix is just so sick of making a good game that they want to turn around and make that game have more games.
So are they putting like Crossy Road in there? And Steppy Pants?
No, that's Steppy
Shouldn't
Pants.
Shouldn't they just finish the first game first?
That's really the only reason I'm bringing this up. So Kingdom Hearts 3, much anticipated for fans of both the giant Mickey Mouse and the giant haired Sora and Riku and all of his Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy friends. Square Enix came out with a new trailer, and it shows Sora playing. You remember back in the day, back in like early 90s when they had those Tiger Electronic games, you know, like the Football Rush, where it was like a digital clock, but instead of displaying numbers, it displayed things that you were supposed to imagine were people,
like Pox.
Yeah. It was just like that big. You'd get them at like gas stations.
You should see Kevin's face,
dude. That was the face of somebody remembering that. That was like a blast from the past.
I still have mine.
that whole 15 year memory that comes back in super vivid detail when you hear one thing.
So my commentary on this whole game within a game thing. There already was a game within Kingdom Hearts, and it was called Getting Donald to Do Fucking Anything.
Getting Donald to Heal You is the metagame. I've actually found out that the last world record attempt had to be stopped the world record attempt for how fast can you get Donald to actually heal you, sad news, but the world record attempt had to be stopped because the guy who was running it died after 48 hours straight of Donald getting murked by the giant dragon that you fight at the end of Kingdom Hearts 1. Spoilers for Kingdom Hearts 1. But the real thing behind this, I guess, beyond the jokies, you know, it's fun to have little mini games in games. We like that kind of stuff. Is it fitting for Kingdom Hearts? Do we feel like Kingdom Hearts is a game where Sora should sit on his little anime ass and just, I don't know, knock out a game of a 100-yard fight on his Tiger Electronic?
Do I think that it's something that should be in Kingdom Hearts? No. Is it fitting? Absolutely.
Yeah, you make a good point. I hadn't really thought of that yet.
It is absolutely fitting, this child.
My thoughts are, on minigames in general, I ask myself one question.
Is it better than the real game?
Is it Blitzball?
I'm pretty sure people buy Final Fantasy X.
If it's not Blitzball, then keep it out of the game.
Better yet.
Literally the only reason to have Waka in Final Fantasy X. For literally, they could have killed him the moment he appeared on screen, unless Blitzball was involved.
Now, am I the only person that used Waka on their team in Final Fantasy X?
I might be the only person here who didn't play.
Literally
Final
summoning giant gods, and this guy has the audacity to throw a rubber ball at a fucking cactus.
Bahamut, and just like this giant possession summoner comes up. Meanwhile, Waka's over there, just like inflating this ball.
Boom! Ah, popped again.
Oh, jeez! I should give it less air. So I just wanted to bring that up because I thought it was interesting. We're all waiting. We're waiting here for Kingdom Hearts 3 information, and then Square Enix, you see a new Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer, and it's just Sora dinking away on these little plushy buttons. It should be cute.
Man, I want to play Blitzball now.
In less cute news, do you guys remember the video game documentary, one could call it? Well, you should call it because that's what it is. The video game documentary, King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters.
Yeah.
That was a thing?
Yes. Tyler, do you remember this? You didn't watch it?
No.
This would actually be really, really cool to have you watch it now that this news has passed.
It would be.
Yeah, I would actually be very interested in sitting down and watching that. So, long story short, King of Quarters, that's what I'm going to call it from now on, even though it's not. It's called King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters. But King of Quarters was all about the standing world champion of Donkey Kong. The original Donkey Kong game. Billy Mitchell. He was known as the Donkey Kong.
Is that the guy that sells OxyClean?
Close. Yep. Except for only one of them is dead. Jesus Christ. But wait, there's more. Billy Mitchell was also one of the first people to... God damn, I can feel the 4 stars coming. 4 stars, we're lucky. 2 stars, probably. Leave us a review on iTunes, by the way.
I just think I'm so funny. I can't help it.
No, it was... Billy, what was his name here?
Billy Mays here with OxyClean.
Here with a brand new Donkey Kong strategy. If you jump over the rolling barrel once, you'll... I don't know any strats behind Donkey Kong. But anyways, Billy Mitchell, he got perfect games in Pac-Man, held a lot of high scores in a bunch of old retro games, and this documentary highlighted the struggle between an up-and-comer who wanted to get that Donkey Kong world record and the, we'll call him system or fan base. Long story short, everybody in that community really loved Billy Mitchell. They thought he was the bee's knees because he was kind of this cool kid. He was one of the up-and-comers in early arcade history. One of the guys that you would hear about in your local arcade and be like, oh, that's Billy Mitchell. He can get 600 points on Double Dragon. California. Turns out now, in the year 2018...
Everybody found out that he's the only man over the age of 50 who still goes by Billy.
He's the only man over the age of 50 who still makes all of his money off hot sauce. That's true. You should try his hot sauce. It's garbage. There was a recent recent allegation thrown at, I forget his name, but it was the guy who held the world record for Dragster, an Atari 2600 game. Someone did the math and found out that his high score...
His name's probably Tommy or something.
Probably Tommy Mitchell. Jimmy Mitchell, Billy's brother.
His evil twin brother.
It's just him, Billy, but with Jimmy. A mustache, yep. Disguise on.
Yep.
No, so this guy...
Double Dragon.
Bimmy and Dimmy. They found out that his thing was false. There was a feasible way to get this guy's score, this dragster top score, but it would require a bunch of manipulation that is subhumanly timed. Like, there's no way you're not subhuman. You'd have to be more than human to get these times. That sparked this kind of push to look into these other scores. As of now, Billy Mitchell, longtime Donkey Kong world run holder, you know, all the things I've just said, has now been taken off of all of the official leaderboards, has been removed from the Guinness Book of World Records, and this was a man who was, I believe, coined as the world's greatest gamer, big air quotes around there, either by Guinness or somebody.
Guinness is like...
brilliant!
Their opinion on video games is like the opinion that like of a forwarded email from my grandmother.
No, the Guinness Book of World Records. So they hold some sort of...
I mean...
Look at this lady who can put 5 grapes up her nose.
This lady
record.
Juggled 4 tables at once with her feet.
While on fire.
She's the best juggler in the world.
Not the tables. She was on fire. She was found shortly thereafter in a pile of ashes. But it was confirmed. Anyways, yeah, long story short, Billy Mitchell, turns out he's kind of a fraud. The final world record thing of Donkey Kong that he submitted, there's a big controversy around it. Usually they require you to have from the beginning of the gameplay to the end of the gameplay on a VHS tape, old school stuff.
Right.
When his score was originally put into the Pantheon or whatever you want to call it, it was done on a private VHS tape and given to somebody who, let's just say, really liked Billy Mitchell. gave him the benefit of the doubt, maybe because he was a bit of a nobody and looked up to Billy Mitchell as, like, the father he never had. I might be, like, you know, throwing
projecting?
His... No, my dad is great. My dad is awesome. I never wish that he wanted me to be great at Donkey Kong.
What happened was Billy Mitchell submitted it on Laserdisc.
Probably, and they were like, well, we can't, no one owns Laserdisc.
And he puts his 8-track player back in his ears and rollerblades out of the arcade.
On his Heelys that haven't been invented yet. Billy Mitchell has now been found to be the biggest fraud in classic arcade gaming, as far as records go.
You guys haven't met my dad.
Is he a fraud or is he a gaming legend? Because now that Billy Mitchell's been knocked down...
I guess the world will never know.
You know how...
You know what? I wait to hear what Guinness has to say about your dad.
It's brilliant!
You know how the top score on a game, when you turn it on, has, like, the developer's initials on the top?
Yeah.
He would always tell me that was his gamer tag.
And you're like...
From 1990.
That's weird, Dad. Your name is Namco? That's weird.
One time when I went to Dave & Buster's, and I'm pretty sure I've told this story on this podcast before, but for those of you newcomers, my brother-in-law and I played this game. It was one of those, like, VR racing games, but you were on a big old raft, and you had to paddle together. You may know the one.
Yes.
It shakes, rattles, and rolls. Well, anyway, we got the high score, and we made our names Ass and Ass.
I have a similar story, but mine's a little bit more insidious.
That's the most accurate assessment of you and him ever.
There was a very small arcade inside of a supermarket near me, and I went up there all the time because they had a Galaga machine, and I'm a big fan of Galaga. I held the high score for a long time. Long time, number one up there, MEO. See me, see those initials. Then I go up there one day, MF and Todd. There's a man named Todd who's taking my place. And instead of beating his score, I got all the way up to his score and then died on purpose. Made my name sucks. then played again, got up to my previous high score of number two, stopped, and made my name ass. So Todd's score now reads, Todd sucks ass.
Dude, that's some...
And then I left it there for a few days, then got all the high scores. Let's just say Todd never showed his face around Kmart again.
I mean,
he probably went
he
back
just never
to,
went
like,
back.
Virginia or whatever.
It's just, hey, honey, there's a Galaga machine here. I played this last week. I don't know how I'm just now remembering that. Oh, I suck ass. How did he know?
No, I sucks ass.
I sucks ass? Todd sucks ass? All right, let's move on. Billy Mitchell is a fraud. The whole thing is that they think that this tape was done on MAME. It was done on emulation software. Now there's so much stuff coming out about what old games could have been done with MAME. I just generally wanted to get your guys' idea on it, but I think this discussion has kind of solidified that... It's a joke. He's a joke.
I just can't wait for the documentary about the documentary of him faking Donkey Kong.
Well, that's the thing, and that's the reason why I want Tyler to watch it, because the documentary very much puts Billy Mitchell as not the antagonist, but he's the one to beat. And then the guy that the documentary focuses, it's all about, like, uplifting and
he's
beat this
like
score.
Underdog-y.
He's the underdog, so you want to root for him. And I won't spoil the ending, but after all this time, when it turns out Billy Mitchell is a cheat, it spoils everything.
Well, what happens is at the end they face off, and Billy Mitchell shits his pants at the last moment and goes,
"Oh, sorry."
Then
Steve Weeks stabs him in the face.
Can't finish the contest. I poop my pants.
That's if you poop your pants in the game, you poop your pants in real life. God damn, this show's gone downhill since season three.
All of a sudden, Tyler comes back, and we're just off the rails.
And we're off a poopy pee-pee. I want to thank Tyler for consistently bringing in the silliness that we so lack when me and Kevin sit here. It's like, this weekend game news.
Bandai stocks are up this month.
I would like to point out that I've said maybe 100 words total.
Hey, you know what?
It's just your
it's
energy.
It's quantity, not quality.
Speaking of boring industry news, which isn't that boring, actually, because all of us kind of like this game. But we'll be brief on this. Valve. You guys know Valve? They made games like Portal, Half-Life, Steam. The whole platform, Steam. Gabe Newell is their god. So Valve has a tendency to buy smaller indie studios, build them up into something amazing. I'm Italian, I talk with my hands, and Tyler's making
fun
of me.
You're grabbing your imaginary boobs.
Yes. Well, they're not imaginary.
I'm only half Italian, I talk with my right hand.
Your left one just stands there like it's just broken.
It's usually underneath the right hand.
So, yeah, Portal. Portal was a game that was created by a small studio. They're indie. They're actually like students, right? Mm-hmm. It was a student-made project. Valve saw potential, bought them, and then that team went on to make Portal. Valve hasn't done that in a while. But just recently, they announced that they have bought out Campo Santo, which if you guys
did
might
know...
Did
they make that one game that you really like a lot?
Yes.
Firewatch. Yes, they did. That's the game. It's like an interactive fiction storytelling about a guy who goes to watch fires in the California, question mark? In a big forest. He goes to watch out for forest fires.
Colorado.
Something like that.
Something like that.
The game was beautiful. Campo Santo is working on another game. It's like Egyptian mummy ruins. Mummy Watch is what we're calling it.
2018.
The rule, not the rule, but the story going forward now is that Valve has purely purchased them to give them financial support, give them backing. They're not interacting, or they're not doing anything with their development. They're not putting any team members on their team. They're just saying, hey, finish the game you're making. We want it to be the best it can possibly be with your talent. And from there, I'm assuming they're going to have them work on something.
They're going to work on Immortal Redneck 2.
Oh, man, that would be a weird fit. But it'd be a beautiful game, I can tell you that.
Two things. I need to play the Immortal Redneck.
Yeah, you do.
You do. It is quite a good game.
You would love it.
Second thing, this took place in the most inconspicuous place of not one but two forks, Wyoming.
Wyoming?
That's where Firewatch took place.
See, I would have never guessed that because...
Same. Maybe Montana.
Yeah, Montana, I would have thought.
You know, big place this nowhere.
This is a good time to tell people that if you haven't played Firewatch, you should play Firewatch.
You really should.
In the same vein, if you like Firewatch, I would say give Virginia a chance, too. Virginia, remember
both games are really good for people who are not familiar with video games in general, too. They're both really good entry points for people who are trying to learn how to play.
As is Edith Finch, or what remains of Edith Finch. But to that point that Kevin made, I think that's why Valve is buying them, because... they have a handle on what makes a good cinematic experience and doesn't put too much on the player, and I think Valve wants to do great things with that.
I would also argue that they have a penchant for picking up games that are really good at instructing people who don't know how to play. I remember when Portal came out, it was kind of touted as a really great game for people to learn video games on, and it really is good because it's literally a game about instruction that goes off the rails. So it stands alone as a really great entry level, especially because of the co-op involved, that you know, you could really help somebody along who doesn't know how to play games.
Portal's great. So. I really wish they make a Portal 3, but at this point, I don't know if that's a thing I truly want. We'll have to see. Okay, so it's been a while since we've done this next segment. That's it for news, by the way. Like this season, I've been trying to give you guys more benchmarks of when we're moving on from other things instead of being one long stream of consciousness. We didn't have an intro segment, but that's your basic news, right? There'll be more stuff coming forward. I'm sure with E3 coming out, there's been tons of leaks. There will be tons of leaks, and we'll cover that as it comes out. But for now, we're going to move away from game news, and we're going to go towards something that we haven't done in a while, and that's because we got Tyler back on the show.
Hi, I'm back.
When Tyler's back on the show, me and Tyler like to do a little segment called... Hey, Tyler, why don't you introduce it?
Hey, pal, you ready to talk 200 words now?
10 words or less. I'm just kidding.
New Game Plus.
We're doing New Game Plus, guys.
That's three words.
New Game Plus is the segment in which we tell you what games you're going to be getting on your system of choice through either Xbox Live Gold or PlayStation Plus. Hopefully, when Nintendo Switch launches their thing later this year, we'll have some sort of info about that. But we're going to tell you what games you can get for absolutely free this upcoming month. So since we're recording in April, it'll be May. And what you should purchase. Or not what you should purchase, but... if it's worth the download, if it's worth checking it out. Tyler is looking at PlayStation stuff right meow because Xbox always releases their information a little bit earlier. PlayStation
likes to... it's also a lot easier to access.
Yeah, and PlayStation likes to kind of hold to the chest. So we might have some rumors here. but let's start off with Xbox Live, what Xbox Live is bringing to the table. Tyler, Super Mega Baseball 2.
You're kidding.
I actually played Super Mega Baseball 1 for like the first time 2 months ago. Let me tell you what, it's probably the best baseball game there is on the Xbox because there's no baseball games on the Xbox.
I was going to say, if you were going to say ever, I was going to slap you.
Oh, no. Best.
I mean, we're not talking about backyard right now.
Yeah, Pablo, my boy, my boy deep in the wheels, bro. Pablo Sanchez runs those bases so fast in his wheelchair, those wheels kick up so much dust, It's disgustingly good. If you don't pick Pablo on your team every time when playing backyard baseball...
I don't think Pablo had a wheelchair, man.
No, he didn't. Which... Wheels did.
Wait. No shit, Wheels?
Wait.
I thought it was Legs.
God damn, that's rough. Wheels is my favorite, then. Has my whole entire childhood up... Well, has my whole entire nostalgia for my childhood been a lie? Is Pablo Sanchez not a handicapped player?
He's not.
Well,
unless you count being short a handicap.
Well, you know...
But that just shrinks his...
I see that, little dude.
It shrinks his strike zone, so actually it's really a benefit.
Well, you don't give away the high-level strats of backyard baseball. We're not talking about backyard baseball right now. It's the backwards cap. Both of them have backwards caps. So he has a little tummy sticking out.
He does.
Tyler on here with the...
I'm working on it. Kenny Kawaguchi.
Kenny Kawaguchi. Tyler, can you do me a favor? Can you maybe hold your finger on the picture of Kenny Kawaguchi, maybe copy that, and then send that to me so we can put it on the Twitter?
I think you were trying to remember Wheels from the McDonald's Kids, the Kids Zone with VR.
No, I know what that looks like, Kevin. I know what that thing looks like.
I think you were thinking of every car that you can play in the DOS game Wacky Wheels. You guys like those old references? Continuing on, Super Mega Baseball 2, download it because it's there, but it's not really worth. The next thing I want to talk about, though, this is a game that everyone should play. Because I bought it for $12 and I still haven't played more than the first 3 hours. You guys, I don't know how much you've played of this game, but this is a game that everyone should get. Metal Gear Solid 5, The
this
Phantom
is
Pain.
On...
This
gold
is free.
This month?
This is gold in May.
Oh, snap.
Starting, I believe, May 16th.
Cool.
Super Mega Baseball will be there at the beginning of the month, and I'm sure some of the April games will also continue. This April, we had, I think, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, Cars 2, something weird. But those games will probably still be there, one of them. But yeah, Metal Gear Solid 5. Guys, for those who don't know, I don't know how you don't know, but this is the fifth entry in the Solid Snake story. He's out. He's doing the things in an open-ish world. I liked this game because I struggle with stealth games. And if there's one word that describes Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, it's options.
It's box surfing.
That's two words, but I'd also take that.
It's hyphenated.
What is box surfing, Alex?
You can run down a hill and then surf in your box.
Let's do this. We're playing Jeopardy.
Okay.
The category is Metal Gear Solid 5.
Okay.
What number do you want?
I want silence for 400.
That's not how it works.
Metal Gear Solid 4.
We're cutting the bit.
I thought the theme was, they do a theme.
No,
you know?
the
category.
Category.
Okay,
Metal Gear Solid 5.
Metal Gear Solid
200, 400, 600,
then why'd you give me an option?
Because you pick a number.
All right, 400.
This character is pretty quiet.
Snake. That's not fair.
Snake. Revolver Ocelot.
Silent Snap.
This character really likes weird anime bubbies.
Oh, the psychic mantis.
So you like to look at anime bubbies. He's reading your USB drive because you're playing on a PC. Metal Gear Solid 5 is great.
Wow, that went off the rails.
It really did. Well, because you body the whole entire Jeopardy thing by not knowing America's greatest game, Jeopardy, not baseball. I like the idea for that bit. I'm going to work on my Alex Trebek and then...
Jesus Christ.
Kevin's bringing up stupid gifts. I'm going to work on my Trebek and we're going to come back. We're going to try that maybe a little bit. Maybe we'll do an E3 Jeopardy. That could be fun. Metal Gear Solid 5. Yeah. Everybody full recommendations. Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you played it, Tyler?
I've never played a Metal Gear Solid game.
If you've never played a Metal Gear Solid game, Metal Gear Solid 5 is the way to go, I believe. A lot of people would argue with me about that, but I think if you're not a huge stealth fan and you don't want to fight against PlayStation 1 or PlayStation 2 era stealth, then MGS5 gives you way more options than you should even have.
My first Metal Gear Solid game was the white one for PlayStation.
That is Metal Gear Solid 1, but I think it was the
Metal
greatest
Gear Solid,
hits.
The white album.
The white album. Everyone knows that's an album that if you play in reverse, you actually hear the Metal Gear Solid 3 song when you're climbing that really long ladder.
Shadow Moses.
Mm-hmm. Next game that you're going to get on Xbox, this game is a game I love. Platinum Games made it, I'm pretty sure. Don't quote me on that.
Sega.
Sega Publish?
Sega Publish.
Sega Publish. I still think it's Platinum Games that made it.
I really don't think so. I'm going to check again.
Check, though.
I'm just looking at it because this is the game that everyone slides in and that's it.
Vanquish. Guys, Vanquish, Tyler put it perfectly. It's a game where you slide. Well, it's a third-person cover shooter, but your thing is that you're in this crazy exosuit. And boy, can you go fast.
Mm-hmm. You were right. Platinum Games, published by Sega.
Okay, so published by Sega, Platinum Games, they're responsible for games such as Bayonetta and Devil May Cry.
Mad World.
Oh, wow. Mad World's a good one for the Wii. That's the black and white one, but all the blood is red.
Developed by Platinum Games, published by Sega. How about
so
that?
So Platinum Games, pretty good at their action-adventure games. I think I said it was a cover shooter. I also think there's some hand-to-hand combat in there. But generally speaking, it is just this high-octane, super, super fast game. You're sliding on your knees, and you're jumping up, and you're using your booster packs to kill people. What's up?
You're talking about Warframe.
It's okay. It has the aesthetic of Warframe before Warframe was a thing. Except instead of being an MMORPG that's very hard to get into if you haven't played in a while, it's a pretty fun third-person shooter. Damn, those screens look really good.
So it's like Tribes meets Warframe.
Yeah, but with a single-player focus. I believe the screens that Tyler's bringing up right now look very good, better than I remember the game to be. But it does have this very kind of futuristic sci-fi look, almost Deus Ex. I 100% recommend getting that.
This almost sold me on an Xbox 360 over a PS3.
It damn well should have. It's a fantastic game. Vanquish.
Made by, again, Platinum Games. You know what else Platinum Games did?
What else?
Scalebound. Now I'm sad. Let's talk about something that makes me mad.
Streets of Rage. Does that make you mad, or do you want to continue talking about...
No, it's just Rage. Let's keep going.
Streets of Rage. Guys, this is part of the Sega...
Speaking of wheels, his name's Blades, but still he has wheels.
Not even close.
No, Blade is the guy who's the one... Okay.
Vampire killer. Okay.
Before we get off...
He's the kid with the roller skates.
Streets of Rage...
Jet Set Radio.
...is the fourth game... that you will get with Xbox Live Gold in May. Streets of Rage is a game that came out on Sega Genesis, part of the Sega Genesis collection. It is a side-scrolling beat-em-up in which you play as characters. Some of them
have roller skates.
Exactly one of them. Wait, is the roller skate kid in Streets of Rage 1?
Yeah, dog.
Yeah, he kicks your ass for a little while.
He's awesome.
He was pretty two. Much can you play as him?
I don't think so.
I think you could play as him in two. I remember...
I think you're right.
Remember the white dude with like the wife beater? That guy is like... John, or something weird. There's the girl with the red stuff, the red clothes. She can jump. I like her the most. I can't remember the third dude. I think it's just...
Chun-Li.
No. I think the third dude is just an African-American guy with a yellow white...
Really beard. Happy guy. He's really happy.
Yeah, it's a great game. It was in arcades.
This looks like Turtles graphics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that good old Turtles in Time kind of final fight kind of thing. Old school Sega beat-em-up
like
arcade game.
Kind of aesthetic.
Yeah. Warriors. If you have never played Streets of Rage because you didn't have a Sega Genesis or for some reason missed it, highly recommend it. Highly, highly recommend it. It's a great time. A really good game just to kind of chill back, relax, put on a podcast or something and just press buttons.
Those graphics.
Did we find... Does PlayStation... That's all for Xbox.
No.
Does PlayStation really... Is there anything even rumor-wise?
Yes, there's a lot of rumors out there because of recent releases. People are saying God of War 3 remaster will be released. And I, you know, as much as I want to believe that, like, why would they do that?
I would think that they would. I see both points of the arguments because it would make sense to get people hyped. But at the same time, it would make more sense for them to not do it because me personally, I started playing God of War 3 again, to get hyped for it or to finish the story.
It would be silly if they released it after the fact.
Well, it would make more sense to either do it in 2 months after people have mostly played God of War and maybe want to go back. It wouldn't make sense to make it free right now because people are still going to buy it. If there's a time where people want to buy it, it's now. So they can be good guy Sony and give it away for free. But business speaking, I would probably not have it free right now.
So people are saying that... Because last month was the best month in PlayStation Plus history.
Yes.
With Bloodborne and Ratchet and Clank being free. And if you missed that, you have a few days left. You have until the first Tuesday in May.
So Bloodborne, get that.
Get you some. Not the first Tuesday. It's probably the second Tuesday.
You still have time. If you're hearing this and it's still like late April, you have time.
I think Xbox should give us Bloodborne.
That would be a wonderful thing that will never happen.
Because it's PlayStation only.
I know.
Okay. Now, everyone is so excited that PlayStation did this high-rated AAA game thing this month.
So now they think that everything is going to be a high
exactly.
AAA.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
So the list that I saw included Uncharted, the Nathan Drake Collection,
Oh, no way.
The Order 1886, which that's
I could see the Order 1886.
Watch Dags.
One or two?
Probably one or the other. They definitely won't do both.
I would say Watch Dogs 1 makes sense because that's been a Games with Gold game.
I also
would
agree. Yeah, Watch Dogs 2 is in Game Pass right now, too.
Oh, neat. Yeah. I might get that.
Watch Dogs 2 is a good time.
Last of Us, Killzone Shadowfall, Gravity Rush Remastered. Actually, that's...
I can see those three.
Probably the most likely, Gravity Rush, because it's on sale right now.
It's a great game.
I would see Gravity Rush. I don't see this Uncharted collection.
Mm-mm. What about Far Cry 4?
That I could see.
I don't think it's... I think it's too soon.
Nah.
They did just give it away. What was it 3 or 4 that came with 5?
Three remastered.
I think they're counting on the longevity of 5 waning at this point, so they might release 4.
I'd honestly say that 5 still has a lot of kick.
Yeah.
I mean, you haven't beaten it yet, but no. the post-game of it, there's enough content where I believe if you bought it at launch, you're still playing that.
Hmm. I'm still playing it.
Yes, great. Great time.
Again,
speculative, I think.
Thank you. That didn't sound right coming out of my mouth.
It's okay.
Dark Souls 2, yeah, right. Wasteland 2, because there's so much DLC for Dark Souls 2.
You know what I would see? I would see a lot of these big things coming after E3, when they make an announcement for something else.
They're also Shadow of Mordor.
Shadow of Mordor, I think, would be...
I could see it.
You know what? Because Shadow of Mordor, they just stopped doing their Shadow microtransaction War. Stuff, so it might be a good time to reintroduce people to it.
They're also... Oh, no, this is the first one, not the second one.
Oh, yeah, then I think that would be a fine... Yes.
They're also about to release... Dark Souls for Switch, so I doubt they would release Dark Souls 2 on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
Actually, they might, just to keep people away from it.
Anyway, it's all speculation.
Right. Mortal Kombat X.
I think they would do that in E3 right after they announced the new Mortal Kombat, which is a thing.
Never would they ever give away a Fallout game for free.
No, Bethesda won't do that. And if they do, I'd be very, very surprised. And I would expect the next anything to have exclusive content for Sony at that point.
To be fair, when you bought Fallout 4, you got Fallout 3 for free.
Yes, on all systems.
But that is with the purchase of another Bethesda product.
Yeah, and that's from Bethesda. That's not from...
Right.
I
don't think they would make that brand new game free. Not brand new. How long has it been? 3 years?
Around there. What? Fallout 4?
Yeah.
3 or 4 years, I think, at this point. Regardless of how long it's... They need to put out Elder Scrolls 6. They won't do another Fallout at this point.
Did you see the trailer, speaking of Bethesda, for Somerset?
What is that?
I didn't see the trailer, but I read about it.
ESO?
New expansion for ESO.
Oh, it looks really good. About it, yeah.
It looks really good.
I'll probably be playing it.
I've never wanted to play ESO before this.
I played all of Vanilla. Well, not all of Vanilla. I played most of Vanilla. I got... Beat the main story. I did all of Morrowind for a review. At this point, I have a character who's like a werewolf, which is hard to become, so I might as well play Somerset. But what I've heard is that it's just as big, if not bigger, than Morrowind.
Mm-hmm.
It's own zone, so yeah, if the patches are still the same, you can start up the game and go directly into Somerset without having to do any sort of pre-game grinding.
What are you playing on?
What am I playing on? Yeah. Xbox One.
Xbox?
Yes.
I probably have all of it.
If not, you can have my copy and I'll use his. This is stuff we can talk about off the air.
Right. Yes, but ESO is a thing that's happening. Somerset is, I believe, early May. There's another expansion coming out in early May that we'll talk about in a bit. But real quick, guys, when Sea of Thieves came out, we'll make this quick because we're already about 40 minutes. When Sea of Thieves came out, we all kind of grabbed it through Game Pass and we had a chance to play around with Game Pass. Kevin, you got it for an extra month. I canceled after the first one, looking at what's on there. I just want to do a quick roundtable. We'll start with Kevin. What you guys think of the service overall, maybe how subscription gaming is as a thing, etc., etc. Just what your ideas on Game Pass were. I think me and Kevin talked about this a little bit, but now that we have Tyler here as well, everybody go down the line. Kevin, what were your thoughts? Unless Tyler, you wanted to start?
No, I mean, if you want to start with Kevin, by all means.
My impression of Game Pass is that it is absolutely worth the money if you have the time to play a lot of games.
This is $10 a month.
It's insane. I mean, alone, like I said, you can get Watch Dogs 2, which is what, a year old at this point, maybe?
Yeah, I think
it's
a year and a half.
Very old.
It's not old at all. And, I mean, for $10, that's how much you would pay to rent a decent game nowadays.
Right.
Here's a question I just thought of. If you play a game on Game Pass, if you download it and then you decide that you want to buy the game but not continue Game Pass, your saves will carry over.
Sure, correct.
Yeah, okay, that also another bonus. Is that all you have to say? You just
I mean, it really does seem to be worth the price, because even if they, let's say for example, even if they just released like old 360 titles, as long as they're pumping out the good ones, it's $10. Like, what, you know?
Moving on to me, that's exactly what Kevin said. But to that point, I found that most of the 360 titles, it might be just me, but I think they're very good picks. Yeah. Wide range of both old school arcade stuff, some of the Xbox arcade digital titles that were only on their digital platform that were really good, and then some full games for 360 that are fantastic. My main point is that I just appreciate that you can download it over streaming. I've had a few friends who wanted to play the God of War trilogy for the new one, so they got on PlayStation Now, because there's no PlayStation 4 remaster. There's only a PlayStation 3 remaster, right. And y'all know how backwards compatibility goes on PS4. But long story short, on PS Now, since you're streaming it, if your internet dips a little bit, or for any reason you get knocked out of the queue, it'll say, hey, you have X amount of time, aka 90 seconds, to save your game. Anyone who's played PS2 era games knows not a ton of autosave. It's a lot of, like, find the save point that are about 15 minutes apart. So I had a buddy who was playing it, and three times over, had to replay, like, 15 minutes of the game because his thing bounced out. He got kicked and wasn't able to save because there was no autosave. So the fact that you can download, it's cheaper than PlayStation Now, and you can carry over your saves, I think, if anything, it's worth it to try out for a month or two if you don't have a large collection of Xbox games, because there's some truly great stuff on there. Tyler, what's your thoughts?
Like, the Devil May Cry series is on there. Darksiders.
Perfect example. Darksiders is great.
I mean, Just to name a few, there's a game on there that I want to talk about later. It's called Steriden. It's one of the most fun roguelike shooters, shoot 'em ups, that I've ever played. I mean, it's just fun space pixel graphics. I don't know if you like that stuff, but I love that stuff.
The point is that there's something there for everyone. From Tyler, who has a very select amount of genres that he prefers, to me, who's a jack of all trades, and Kevin, who likes, I mean, you like a lot of stuff. But
what's a video game?
What's a game video?
We play games on the boards.
I play what everybody else is playing.
I've been there. True. Yeah, you are. I mean, that's not to be a dick, but you kind of just go with the flow.
I do.
You're one of those headline players. You like seeing what's good.
Yep.
When it's good, that's kind of how I work.
Yeah. I would like to just like talk about this.
Yeah, go for it.
This subscription thing.
Yeah, yeah. Because subscription based gaming,
it's starting to come into like.
Look at Netflix.
Kind of its own?
Look at Netflix and look at how that has progressed. Just to give you guys a brief idea, Netflix is now proposing things such as choose your own adventure shows, where you start, you watch an episode, and then you...
That's awesome.
So Netflix, which was once viewed as the subpar way of streaming content that had no content, is now known for its fantastic originals, is defining its own genre and its own market. And when you look at something, PlayStation Now, it just didn't put it there. But when you look at something like Xbox Game Pass, like Tyler said, it's becoming its own thing.
Right.
So, extrapolate on that.
So, like you say, he brought up Netflix, and that's a really good way to put it. There will be games cycling in and out, and you might miss something, but there are at least three things that have been replaced in there that you've probably never played, heard of, or have been interested in, and now it's available. There are things coming in the first few weeks of Game Pass. There were 100 games available day one.
Yeah, what is it now, like 3?
I think it's 300 right now. It has gone up an awful lot. I mean, that's obviously tripled in size. But we're not talking small-time games. We're talking, like we said,
Halo Reach is on there, I think.
Yeah, Halo Wars 2 is on there.
Oh, like, really?
It's not a joke.
And the reality is, if you find one game you like, it's worth $10.
Right. It's better than buying...
That's a good point.
It's better than buying a $10 used copy that might be a working disc that you're going to be done with. Now you have another game that you can play right after that. I mean, sure, you don't have an awful lot of time. We don't have a lot of time either. But, like, it's...
I think...
You're going to make your time.
What Kevin said makes a great point, is that it's $10. Any other way you look at it, unless you're borrowing a copy from somebody... Let's take Halo Wars 2, for example. If you're going to purchase that game, used, it's going to cost you $35, $30, something like that. Even if you go to GameStop and you play it for a week and bring it back, it's going to cost you some gas. $3 or $4 of gas, right? If you rent it from Redbox and you plan on playing it for more than a day, it's going to be like $6. Or you could just spend $10 on this thing that gives you the game you want and then another 299 games. And worst case, if you like it but you don't like the service, you have now saved your time. You've saved yourself the install time.
Well, and kind of concerning the what you said earlier about the different types of gamers we are, it's a perfect example. I got it for Sea of Thieves, and then the next couple days I noticed my buddies were on Terraria. I've already bought Terraria 4 times. I don't want to buy it again, but I go on to Games Pass.
Right
there's
there.
Terraria.
I think it's a great option for people who are new to Xbox, or people who maybe have a PlayStation and just got an Xbox and want to fill in those gaps with some of the exclusives. You don't have all the exclusives on there, but you have some Fables, you have some of that stuff.
Fables on there. That was crazy. Yes.
There's definitely, I think it's the remastered anniversary, which I love that game. So Game Pass, I think we all, that's 3 out of 3. Big thumbs up.
Yeah. I was skeptical. I was very skeptical.
As was I.
I think all of us sat in the same boat, and then now that we've played it and looked at it and seen what the value is, we are now all changed our tune.
Formerly, I thought they were using Game Pass, or they were using Sea of Thieves to sell Game Pass. What they were really doing was using Game Pass to sell Sea of Thieves.
Yes, Game Pass is is the
sea
thing.
Of Thieves.
And this, once again, I'm going to put out that prediction that... like Tyler's saying, this is going to be a platform. This is going to be something that's pushing people to play games they might not have played before. And I think the way that they're going to do this is by announcing Crackdown 3 will be available right after the Microsoft keynote on Game Pass. I think that's what they're going to do. And I think that's going to push way more people than even Sea of Thieves to Game Pass. And then more people will then see the value.
They're probably not going to do this, but...
yes.
Would you pay $90 one time a year?
Yes. If
you would pay $90 one time a year rather than $10 a month recurring.
Well, if I was going to buy it for a year. Yeah, because I'm saving money. But the thing, I guess, for there, it would be a personal decision. And I'd have to look at how much they update it and how often they update it.
Right. If they kept going, well, I mean, obviously they're not going to add 200 games a month.
Because of where I sit at as being a games journalist and having my own treasure trove of games. But for somebody who has no games and just bought an Xbox, if you buy a year at $90, that's only $30 more than a brand new game.
Right, and you have 300.
Yes, yeah. I would say it is. If you're buying an Xbox for the first time, you should buy Game Pass with it, regardless of what you think. It's $10.
It should come with Game Pass.
I think most Xbox One X's and stuff come with Game Pass.
I think we've been talking about Game Pass long enough now that Microsoft should pay
us. Yeah, Sony, give us Game Pass.
Sony should pay us to shut up.
All right, we're going to move on. We're running a little bit long. Most of the games here we're going to talk about, you know, not too much to talk about, but I did want to spring up this first one. We've been talking so much about Microsoft. Let's move over to Sony's big products here. Detroit Become Human. Do you guys remember this game at all?
Yeah.
No.
This is, for Tyler's benefit, this is the game that was made by the same guy who did Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls. It is Detroit Become Human. Androids are in Detroit. This futuristic 2038 cyberpunk Detroit. One of them is like a hostage investigator, hostage negotiator. Another one, there's different androids. You control them, but it's all Heavy Rain style. You make choices that impact. Long story short, the site I worked for, they had a preview event, and my boss went to it, said it's looking pretty good. I said, I was skeptical, but he said there's going to be a demo tomorrow. And I said, okay. I downloaded the demo, I streamed it, and I am now here to tell you guys, I think this could be a good one. I think this could be a good one. Only because watching the E3 stuff and watching all the marketing promos and seeing the front cover that they put out made me think this game is a hard 6. It's a hard, maybe a 7. Who knows if it could get worse than that. Now that I've played it, it takes the best parts of the detective kind of stuff from Batman Arkham, combines them with the best tension and choices that you have to make of Heavy Rain, and gives you this kind of noir-style thriller. Now, this is based off of one scene. The demo is one scene where you play as a hostage negotiator named Connor. You go in on this kidnapping, well, this hostage situation. It takes place in a high-rise apartment. There is an android. He's gone off his programming, right? And he's holding the little... You want to share that out? That's the thing that I did. Kevin just held up a picture of Cole Phelps from Lenore, L.A. Noir, with a big old doubt button. He's doubting that this game will be great. But yeah, you play as this hostage negotiator. There is another android who has he's become upset for some reason, and he's holding this 8-year-old girl hostage. He's teetering on the edge of the rooftop of this, I don't know, 20, 30 story apartment building. And you have to go in, you have to investigate the clues, find out maybe why this happened, and then literally talk him from the ledge. I played through it 4 times, each time got a different ending. Like there was a fish on the ground, and I picked up the fish because it was out of the water, and I put him back in the water. And at the end of the demo, you get the scene flowchart of all the branching paths. There's something different that happens if you don't save that fish. And now I want to know why. Characters can die. They have huge impacts. What I like about this game, or this Detroit Become Human, is that unlike Heavy Rain, there is like a casual mode. So if you don't want your characters to die and then have permadeath throughout the game, then that's an option. But I just want to say I was sufficiently surprised. I thought it was a good time. You guys should probably play it. You have a PlayStation 4.
I do.
You should probably play it. It's going to be a good time. Do you like androids?
No.
Then you shouldn't play it. It'll be coming out on May 25th, so I'll let you know. I'll have a full review of it up on a90skid.com after it comes out. But if you're a fan of Heavy Rain, if you liked Beyond Two Souls, and maybe you're looking for a little bit more of like a detective thing, it also has a lot of those themes of like, what is humanity? You know, define consciousness, because the androids in this game, very, very lifelike, you know, and I don't want to spoil anything. Go play the demo. It's like a 15-minute long demo. It's 2 gigs. You can play through it on a break, and it'll be a good time. Another game.
Soma.
What about
another Soma? Game.
Soma's a great game, by the way.
I was drawing parallels to computer brain and whatnot.
It does a lot of stuff that's kind of tropey. Not Soma. I mean, Detroit. All the themes of, like, what does it mean to be human is something we've seen since the beginning of sci-fi, but it's just a matter of how they execute on it. And hopefully, they'll execute well. Something that was executed quite well. And by quite, I mean, I think I said it's the closest to perfection we've come in a while.
Aw. I'm sitting right here. You don't have to talk about me like that.
He's talking about Tyler. God of War.
I am.
Tyler is the god of many things. He's the god of war. He's also the god of sex.
Did you say the god of war?
Huh?
And peace.
No, Vor?
Vor. What is Vor? Huh?
Look it up on your phone.
I'm not doing that right now. You do that.
I don't know if I should do this.
With Google Safe Search off.
With Google Safe Search off. God of War is, while you guys do that, I'll briefly. God of War is the newest God of War game. It's made by Sony Santa Monica Studio. It takes our friend Kratos, who you must know. You must know of Kratos. He was the Greek God of War, you know? You played him on PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, maybe PlayStation Portable.
No, he wasn't the God of War.
Yeah, he wasn't, and then he became the God of War.
Spoilers.
For God of War 2. Sorry, people who are stuck in 2008. Anyways, God of War this time, it are we laughing about the God of War
Tyler
thing?
Just turned and looked at me.
Okay, all right. We'll hold the synopsis real quick. Is it? Can we say it on the?
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Oh, okay. God of.
Well, actually, go ahead, Kevin. You no, explain it. I might no, not have the right thing here.
You got a definition.
I got an Urban Dictionary definition. It's probably incorrect.
Probably right.
Well, go ahead.
You just tell me then.
No, you just go ahead. Go ahead.
This is terrible for the
show. I'll
tell
you if it's wrong.
It's terrible audio.
Most common type of vor is soft vor, being swallowed or swallowing whole with no bloodshed. There is a less common hard vor.
It's a sex thing.
That's not what this says.
Yeah, but it is.
Tyler is the god of swallowing things without blood. Without blood.
So I'm the god of soft vor. The soft god of vor.
Can we make that the god fucking head? Can we make that the episode title? Or are we going to get hell?
We're probably going to get flagged soft for vor.
So god of war. Oh, no.
God of
War.
God of War.
Dad of Boy.
Dad of Boy. You are not ready. God of War starts off with Kratos and his son Atreus in Midgard. They're hiding in the forests of Midgard. Before the game starts, Kratos' wife and Atreus' mother, the same person, she passes away, and her dying wish is for Kratos and Atreus to take her ashes to the highest peak. It's a nearby mountain. We don't know how much time has passed between the end of God of War 3 and the beginning.
Sorry to cut you off. Do we have any idea how he got from...
No. No.
Oh, okay.
They don't tell you. In fact, the game is almost meant... It feels like it was made for people who might not have played God of War before, because not only is the whole situation kind of shrouded in mystery, you know, how did he go from Greek mythology to Norse mythology, but his past and what he's done is also shrouded in mystery. The reason they do that is because his son Atreus does not know much about his father. Atreus and Kratos have a very strained relationship. The joke that Kevin was making, dad of boy, is because Kratos, whenever he refers to his kid, he just always calls him boy. He's almost viewed as a tool. Boy, open that thing. Boy, do this. It's only in times of peril when he says his actual name. So you can tell that Kratos cares for him, but he's a kind of father who doesn't know how to rear his child, so to speak.
So the original story of God of War, Kratos is a dude who lost his family.
Yes.
And his wife and daughter.
Yes.
So this is a new...
Wife and son.
What a dog.
And the thing is it's the same character. It's not like, I'm just a different Kratos. He refers to his past. In the through line of the story, Zeus is still his dad. Those things happened. It's just how he got to the Norse. They kind of explain it in the game, and I won't spoil it, obviously. But the thing about God of War is it is a perfect combination of so many games. It refreshes the God of War formula while still keeping the heart and the main feeling of the game the same.
And the kidneys.
The liver and the kidneys might have gotten an upgrade, but the heart remains the same.
Uh-huh.
I think the heart of the original trilogy of God of War was just kill everything.
Yeah.
I feel like this game actually has heart and charm. I would say the main themes, it feels comfortable playing.
It's less
this
hack
game.
And slash.
It's less hack and
more
slash.
More story based.
So the entire game is basically just this journey of Kratos and Atreus exploring the different realms of Norse mythology, attempting to bring the ashes of their loved one to the peak. You meet a bunch of characters along the way. The main thing is that combat has changed quite a bit. Instead of, you know, fighting 50 guys at once, getting 100, 250 hit combos, it's more deliberate. This ain't Batman Arkham Asylum. Characters will not fight you one-on-one. They will fight you three or four at a time while archers are shooting at you. There's a lot of... You need to have a lot of awareness of your surroundings, turning around. In combat, you can use your son. He shoots the bow. He'll help you stun enemies. Wait, what?
As a shield?
No, but Kratos does have this really cool, like, retractable shield that comes up. So you can fight with the Leviathan Axe, which basically replaces his old blades. It's this axe that is basically Thor's hammer because you can throw it and then immediately recall it right to your hand, hitting enemies through and on the way back. If you're not a fan of the axe, which I don't know why you wouldn't be, you can fight with bare hand and shield.
Yes,
and,
please.
Yeah, and then you eventually get some other weapons as well. All of those weapons can be upgraded using experience points that you get from completing missions, side missions, and doing these things called labors, which are basically combat challenges.
You still get experience from generally killing things?
Yes, yeah. So you'll get some experience from each battle.
Wait a second. You said this was like The Legend of Zelda meets...
Yeah, I'll get to that at the end. I'll get to that at the end. I had a full review for a 90skid.com that you can read at a 90skid.com. It just combines so many aspects of different great games while remaining truly God of War. But the one thing God of War has always done as a franchise is impressed me with scale. And this is something that the new God of War really takes to a place that I have not seen in many games. There are bosses in this game that make the biggest boss in Monster Hunter look like a Fisher Price toy version. like a miniature fig of the real thing. It is just fantastic. A lot of the areas are just so super inspired. Things you've really not seen in games before. And it's all wrapped around insanely good combat, a heartfelt and emotional story, a personal story, which is also tied into this amazingly natural and organic relationship that grows over time between Kratos and his son. It is fantastic. But the best way...
Emphasis on the fan.
Yeah, the best way to put it is the way I... My last paragraph of my review, my essential conclusion of the game, which I'll have Tyler now read.
If The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time threw a party with Darksiders, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Bioshock Infinite, Horizon Zero Dawn, Legacy of Kain, and the entire original God of War trilogy, God of War would be that party.
And that is a party... that you should rush to attend. That's the only part of the sentence that wasn't in that tweet. All of those things are true. The combat feels like the Legacy of Kain. The relationship between Atreus and Kratos is natural and good and has a lot of depth, like Bioshock Infinite. Rise of the Tomb Raider, they have these kind of sub-areas that feel like their own kind of thing. I could gush on and on about it, and I'm going to stop here because we'll talk about it at the end of the year. It is the only game that I've given a 10 out of 10 to this year, and if you followed us all through last year, I only gave one other game a 10 out of 10, and that was What Remains of Edith Finch. The difference is What Remains of Edith Finch was a 10 out of 10 for me. I can see some people seeing it as a 7. I can see some people seeing it as an 8 or a 9 or anywhere in between. God of War... if you're a fan of action-adventure games, should not be anything lower than an 8. It should not. Even for somebody who doesn't play games, you have to look at this thing and say, wow, it's something special. I think anybody who's been a fan of the series before will be in agreement. It's at least a high 9 or a 10. I cannot recommend it. Kevin, I can't wait till either sometime soon or towards the end of the year when we're cleaning up for Game of the Year that you can actually play through this thing.
I personally can't wait for God of War 4, in which Kratos dies and Atreus finds Falkor.
5.
And
That's going to be God of War 18, when you're fighting the American gods.
No. The
And that one guy from the book is going to be there.
I was making a never-ending story joke.
Oh. Never-ending theme song. I'm gonna skip this next one, but I'm gonna say something real quick. Yakuza 6 is finally out. We got a review copy like a month beforehand.
I was gonna say, I feel like we've been talking about Yakuza 6 for the past like 4 episodes.
Yakuza 6, believe it or not, came out less than a week ago.
Oh, damn.
Yes, we got our review codes a long time ago. Cool. Mid-March. It is now out, and I'm gonna once again say, if you've never played a Yakuza game, you might want to play Yakuza 0 first. Because Yakuza 6, while probably one of the best in the series, sacrifices some of the complexity that the series is known for. And it's also the last game for Kiryu, which is like the main character we've followed the entire way through. It is being heralded as the end of Kiryu's legacy, the closing chapter of his story.
And you get to football toss a baby.
Oh boy, do you. Oh boy, do you. That's something that happens a little bit late in the game. You can see a small clip of that cutscene on, I believe, our Twitter or my personal Twitter.
SGC Twitter.
But...
I just saw it.
But it's a fantastic game. So you should definitely do that. We're going to move over to... You know what? Let's hop over to Kevin and Tyler here for Monster Hunter World stuff.
Hey!
Guys, you guys like hunting monsters, right?
Yeah.
Oh, dang. You know what? You know when this came out? January. You know what you guys talked about after that without me? This a little bit, but not enough.
Yeah, we really didn't talk about Monster Hunter World.
This deserves its own show 3 months ago, and I'm sorry that I missed it.
It's okay. Well, you know what? We will have that show in Game of the Year talk.
Yes, we will.
Because I'm sure, just seeing how it's progressed and seeing how everyone has embraced it, it'll get talks. It'll get big talks. We'll find out if it gets any wins at the end of the year. But yeah, Monster Hunter World, get me up to date, guys, because I played through this thing for a review. I missed all of the new stuff that they'd come out with, and there's a new monster. I don't know.
Let's do a quick wrap-up of like the new base level content, and then we'll talk about the monsters.
Okay.
How's that sound? So, additions. They added Dante's sword and his handgun.
Oh, yeah, no? That's right. The poses,
The Devil May Cry?
Armor set. Yeah, the Devil May Cry.
They gave a charge blade that's his little, like...
His sword. Like, it feels more like you're playing Devil May Cry.
That's the kind of stuff I want.
in Monster Hunter, which is an odd feeling, you know, being so deliberate and slow that Monster Hunter is. Or
being the sad devil.
Ridiculous.
Does it truly change? Does it feel like you're playing a hack and slash in Monster Hunter?
No, just the speed, like just how everything works. They added different effects to this specific weapon. Like it explodes purple, which is unnormal.
Remember them doing some cool stuff. Get
it? Yeah, I think so. I think it just came out, like with Gulf Duroth.
Dope. I need to do that. They Continue. Also added. They added recently you can get a little Mega Man outfit for your
believe me, I had that in the first hour it was available.
You can get it for your little cat.
So your entire feline becomes Mega Man pixelated. He would be 2D if he didn't have to be 3D, you know.
They also added this really cool big ol' greatsword that's like rocket powered.
Oh, the Ignition. Wyvern Blade Ignition.
The remix to Ignition.
Hot and fresh from the canteen. Now,
you ass.
This is a cool greatsword with a cool animation that doesn't really do a whole lot. It's halfway decent, like most event weapons.
Yep.
And if you don't know what I mean, then you haven't played Monster long enough.
I want to hear about this monster.
There's two.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, the two new ones.
What's old is new again. Devil Joe's back.
Devil Joe!
I don't think we need to dwell on that too much, other than the fact that the new one's a total asshole. in more ways than the original was. But the newest and most intriguing monster is known as Kolv Taroth.
She is a large... Like, you know how you play against big old monsters. And you know you fought that, like, that big old Zoramagdoros. Well, that's the biggest monster you'll ever fight.
In that game.
Yeah. The Kolv Taroth is about twice as tall as Uragon. And so, like, stack up four Uragons.
For those who don't know what an Uragon is, how big in comparison to your dude? How tall?
Uragon's shoulder is about two of your character tall, basically.
Like, oh, jeez. To make it to the top of an Uragon, you would need to be three characters tall.
Yes.
Get a little totem pole going there, a little Halo totem pole.
So Kolv Taroth, while moving, is about six characters tall, which is to say at least 30 feet.
Is this kind of like a four-legged thing? Is this a dragon? Or okay.
Yeah, she drags her back legs under her coat.
That's cool.
Golden
it's
coat
a big
thing.
Regal looking.
Oh man, it's super cool. It's really She's neat. Just like laden with gold.
And all of her armor is like pure gold. She's it got just these looks really cool.
Spiral ram horns that are also covered in gold. And like with all monsters, you can break her down and remove that gold piece by piece and collect some points in this new siege mode.
Yes.
I was going to say, is this that more people?
The interesting thing that Tyler is approaching is that you can play in a squad group of up to 16 people.
That's normal.
Beforehand, you could only have up to four people in one party.
You still can. So this was advertised as, you can play with all 16 of your friends. No, that's not right. You can still only play four men to a match.
So they don't have like other four-man teams in the same map?
No.
Aww.
Right. So it was advertised to get everyone into it, and then it was very disappointing. Just because of the language they used. And that's...
Could have been localization.
It could have been. It may not have been. Who knows?
It's a nice way of saying something that's maybe not as cool as they're saying it to be, but it's not an outright lie.
Right. So you can still beat this as a group of four. You could still beat this monster as a group of two, honestly. But you won't get as many research points. The monster will leave faster. The whole point of playing with all 16 members is so that the monster sticks around longer, so that your research develops quicker, so that you get better rewards at the end of the game. The way this monster fights is more...
Is it a big bruiser? Is it a big hitty? Or does it hit really fast? Because I found
a bruiser.
I found the ones that attack very hard are difficult at first. What's the Diablo? El Diablo? Like the one that's in the sand place or whatever?
Diablos?
Diablos. I had a big problem with him the first time. And then after I figured out, like, oh, it's just a truck.
Yeah.
It's not as hard. Would you say that this new character can be cheesed kind of like that? Or is there enough moves that, not the new character, the new monster?
Again, yeah, I would agree. I would say that you could probably, after you figure it out, just, like, stay away from it when it's doing this thing. Get out of the way when it charges at you. You know, the regular monster stuff you do. Just analyze and adapt.
Is it worth grinding these monsters over other monsters for different rewards and stuff?
Well, yeah, because I believe this monster is here for a limited time, if I'm not mistaken.
May 3rd.
Is there any limited resources that come with that or no?
You'll have limited access to the armors and weapons. I mean, if you have the resources and you just don't build it, you'll be able to build it after the
later
fact.
Later on.
But I don't know that you'll be able to. I mean, with Monster, they always put more event quests later.
Right.
But the point is, if you want that 16-man, you know, like, frag fest, you got to do it while the getting's good.
And it's kind of historically how Monster Hunter's been. It's like, if you want the best experience, you got to all get on at the same time. You got to plan it out. You can't just be like, oh, I hope I get it, or find some time.
And it will come back, I'm certain.
Oh, yeah.
Just because they won't be like, no, you can't have this anymore. It's only around for 2 weeks.
I think what they'll do is they'll set up a rotation. After they get like a core of a couple different events like this.
I just wanted to mention one more thing before we're done with this. Normal monsters have weapons and armor. This monster has armor. You get things from the quest rewards that basically boil down to the relic weapons from the past generation.
They powerful?
No.
why would they have a name called Relic
they
Weapon?
They don't start out powerful.
They don't end powerful either because you can't upgrade them.
What?
So they are found as they are. They are as good as they are when you find them. And that is to say they are completely randomized. Any one of the 14 weapons that you can find, they are gold-plated.
Sound like Destiny 1 shit.
They are super shiny. They range from rarity 6 to rarity 8. They can have any number of affinity. They can have like 30% affinity with the highest attack power, and they could have 2 level 3 slots, and they could have white sharpness all combined, or you can get something with yellow sharpness and minus 30% affinity. And
just things that are not good.
Yeah, just terrible, terrible stats.
See, that's the kind of stuff I don't like. It's just a roll. Like, that's why I don't like Destiny 1, is because you have to keep rolling weapons to try and get what you want, and then at that point it becomes a grind that's already on top of another grind.
And that's fair, but Monster's a grind.
True. I just thought that for the events they've been doing thus far, they kind of felt like a little bit more, not as grindy, but, you know, a little bit easier to do, and then you get a fun little thing, and then
you had a bit more control over your destiny.
So yeah, you don't get to just build the weapon that's good. You don't get, but this is what everyone did for every waking moment of Monster Hunter Generations or Cross or whatever it was.
I feel it.
It was the way to get the potentially best weapon in the game, which is whatever is best to you, really. And now,
so many weapons.
It'll go away. Yeah, it'll go away, and everyone will be back to whatever they were doing before.
And then we'll come back when there's another event. Because, like they said, that Monster Hunter World, it seems that it'll eventually end, but they're keeping up with the events. I think we have enough time for two more things. One thing I know for sure we're going to do, but it's up to Tyler between these two.
I mean, one of those two we can summarize in a couple sentences.
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't you guys do that real
Clash.
Quick?
Clash Royale is coming out with an update.
Clan Wars.
Tomorrow. It is Clan Wars.
Now, tomorrow, is that's going
to
be...
It was supposed to be today, and they pushed it back.
But that's... People don't know when they're listening to this, because I post it later. So it should be out April 25th.
By the time you hear this, it'll be out.
Yes. Yeah. Because it's tomorrow.
What kind of things can you do in Clan War?
I actually have never played Clan War, so I'm not sure.
It's a brand new thing, and we haven't really read up on it because there's not much to read.
But from what I understand, or what I guess I can assume, it's going to be performance-based between the clans. So whereas before, on weekends, they would have a clan chest where everybody would work towards unlocking a big chest that everybody got the rewards from based on how many games were played over the weekend. I imagine Clan Wars are going to be a similar thing in which clan performance, win-loss ratios and things like that are taken into account and compared against other clans.
I have an idea. What if they made a Clash of Clans mode where all of your units, they start off nothing, right? They don't have any sort of buffs, nothing. I mean, I've never played Clash of Clans, but I'm just going to assume. No buffs. It's just a standard unit type. And then you have, a battlefield, okay? And you all start by jumping out of an airplane. And then you parachute down into the battlefield where you have to find weapons and maybe, like, you know, a jug of ale that gives you some protective bonus.
Uh-huh.
And then there's just a big circle of guys with shields and little pokies. Mm-hmm, and they keep poking you in, and the last one to survive gets the battle chest.
I like it.
We'll call it Fortnite.
Yeah. Battle Royale.
Because there are forts.
And the whole game takes place.
Well, that's
at night.
A couple sentence summary gets turned into a 5-minute bit, you dick.
This next game, I want to hear Tyler talk a little bit more.
Steriden is very simple. It is, like I said before.
Can you spell that out for
Steriden,
people?
Steriden, Steriden.
And this is on.
It's on Steam. It's on Xbox Game Pass, which is why I'm playing it, because it looks awesome.
I remember you saying Xbox Game Pass earlier. Tell me all about Steriden.
So this is a graphics from Risk of Rain.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Just that pixelated. That's all I'm saying. Not anything like Risk of Rain, other than it's a roguelike.
It's a pixel art kind of looking thing.
And it's only a roguelike in the sense that the power-ups that you find are randomized. There are 5 different weapon types. I'm not going to list them all. I don't know them.
Is this a side-scroller? Or
it
what
is,
kind of
yes. Okay. It's Gradius-like. It's, yeah, it's Gradius. It's R-type. It's left to right.
You're shooting things.
It's a shoot-em-up. It's a shoot-em-to-the-right.
Yeah.
Game.
If you played any kind of game where you're shooting stuff on an NES, it's that kind of thing.
Right. It's a spaceship shooter.
Yeah.
And there's an awful lot of, it's not a one-hit, you're dead thing.
Thank God.
Either. Otherwise, I'd be really good at it already. And the farther you get, the more ships you unlock. So every ship has a special thing. The first ship you unlock is very fast, and its special move is hit stuff. Not just shoot
things. Hit things good.
Like with, you get a little melee attack. So you can zoom in, hit them, and then back out.
Nice.
The second fighter is a little slower, but it has this cluster rocket thing that freezes enemies. I haven't locked anything else past that because I'm not that good. But there are like in between levels that could pop up here and there. I had to fight this asteroid worm, and I just got my shit wrecked.
I was going
to
ask, because of the pixel art, are the bullets you fire pixels, or how? With it being pixely, I could feel like that would either make for really good hitboxes or really shit hitboxes. Or does everything die so fast that it's just like a flurry of bullets?
So, I mean, there's an auto fire.
Ah, okay.
So, for most things, there are some things that are semi-auto. And you'll know, like the energy weapons, most of them are semi-auto unless you get the laser. And then some of the energy weapons just like overheat sometimes and you like freak out a little bit and freeze.
Because with these kinds of games, it's either usually a precision kind of thing, like an Ikaruga, where you have to be balancing something, right. Or it's just like a blow up as much as you can.
So in Ikaruga, you have a single pixel that defines your ship, even though your ship is a little bigger than that pixel. And if you get hit on that pixel alone, then you take damage.
It's almost bullet hell games.
It is definitely a bullet hell game.
Ah.
But unlike other bullet hells, you have a lot of health.
Oh, that's good. Do you still have just like that little pixel?
Yeah.
Hitbox?
You're a pretty big ship on the screen, but when you're one pixel versus like a 4-inch ship.
You can get hit, but it won't register that you get hit.
Exactly.
I love these kinds of games.
Me too.
Steriden, is it like a $10 arcade game, or does it seem to have more?
This is a $15 arcade game on Steam.
Nice.
And I was willing to buy it. I almost did, and I found out that it was on Game Pass. Also, it's two-player.
Ooh, two-player is the best player.
He's been trying to convince me to play it.
He won't do it. He doesn't like shooters.
I might hop on. I don't have Game Pass. I'm the only one who still doesn't have Game Pass, huh?
We game share.
It doesn't matter.
You don't get Game Pass through Game Share. That's like the one thing confirmed by a Microsoft employee. All right, guys. Before we go, we're going to talk about one more game. But I want to talk about another movie first. We saw Ready Player One. It was a good time. You should see it. But we're not going to talk about it because Tyler hasn't talked or seen it yet. I'm going to talk about Rampage.
Rampage is Dwayne The Rock Johnson flexing his biceps.
Congrats, by the way. He had a baby girl.
Congrats, Dwayne. Congrats. Everyone give a soft clap. He's a very, very likable guy. And that's why I just want to say Rampage is a bad movie. It's not a... It's not... It's not a good movie. It's very boring. The characters are all super dumb. They introduce like six characters in the beginning scene, and then literally four of those characters, they don't die. They just never appear. They never show up again. It's one of those movies where you're like, why am I watching this? And then in the last 20 minutes, you get all that good Rampage goodness. The monster's destroying the buildings. Rock's arms are like greasy and he's muscular. And then he's got a grenade launcher. And then you're like, you know what? Rampage is a pretty okay movie. So that's all I wanted to say about Rampage is that if you go in it with the kind of same mindset you'd have of like a Transformers film, just get some popcorn and watch things explode.
Is there a scene in it where The Rock is the only thing like holding up two falling things? Kind of like in every Marvel movie where Cap's holding on to a helicopter with one hand and like a tower with another, and you just see him flexing his sexy biceps.
No, but I'm pretty sure there's a scene where he's holding up something under his weight. His biceps get a lot more screen time than I would say 75% of the cast.
Right on.
Great performance by Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
And The Rock's biceps.
Who basically plays just Negan from The Walking Dead, but I liked his performance. So yeah, go see Rampage. You know, it's okay if you're about an hour late to the movie. Because everything before that is just, there's monsters. Oh, what are we going to do? Call The Rock.
Here's some jokes.
Here's my movie review. I saw A Quiet Place. It was good. Go see it.
Yes, I heard A Quiet Place is very good. I heard some people don't like it at all. And
I loved it.
I'm like, you guys are dumb and don't know about tension.
Here's my brief summary. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It's a perfect hour and a half. They don't go deep into the lore. They don't explain why. They just explain what, and it's good.
It's not that quiet either.
Actually, as the whole joke is the movie starts and it's just like very, very quiet. And then the loudest soundtrack you've ever heard in your entire life throughout. So loud, in fact, that you can't hear any of the characters. It's just the soundtrack the entire time. That's a lie. It's actually amazingly well done sound design. Let's close up this thing with...
I got one more thing to talk about. Do you want me to say it before this one?
Yeah, sure.
Before the game?
Sure, go for it.
I'm watching this show called The Expanse. It's on Amazon.
Ah, I remember you talking
about this. It's a sci-fi show, and it's fantastic. Please watch it.
Does anyone watch Blindspot?
I've heard of it. I do not watch it. I'm currently waiting to watch Westworld Season 2.
Don't watch Blindspot.
I won't watch Blindspot. I've been watching BoJack Horseman. That's a good time. But okay, enough about television. We're about to be here on an hour and 30. Let's end this clean. Our game of the year 2017, guys. You remember what that one was?
I can't believe I'm about to say this. I can't believe you brought it back that way.
I forgot.
You're the worst.
Destiny 2, baby. Destiny 2 was Super Gamecast 64's game of the year 2017 because we were all very... very stubborn about what we didn't want to be number one. Destiny 2 had a expansion that me and Kevin reviewed called Curse of Osiris that was pretty mediocre. And guess what? They have a new one.
They got a new mediocre one coming out.
Well, we don't know if it's mediocre yet. It's looking... okay. Well, why don't you explain a bit of what it is?
All right, so the scene, the setting is Mars.
Remember that one from Destiny 1?
Yeah, remember that planet that... you know, exists. The name of the expansion is Warmind, which those of you who are Destiny fans remember Rasputin from former iterations of the game. It features Rasputin again. You will be playing in two new Mars locations called Hela's Basin. I'm sorry, that is the new location. There are not two of them. But it does include access to two new strikes, Strange Terrain and Will of the Thousands.
I always liked the strikes. I felt that they lacked the variety. There needed to be more.
The Strange Terrain strike will pit you against a hive prince known as the Herald of Zol.
Oh, beat him up.
And the Will of the Thousands tasks you with defending Rasputin's neural network using a new relic weapon called the Valkyrie.
I'm interested to see if the story content will be what Curse of Osiris was.
Let me throw this out there because this is the selling point for me. Up to this point, I thought, okay, it's probably just going to be another Curse of Osiris. There's going to be like a week or two of content, and then I'll be done with it again until the next expansion.
Yep.
So here's what might give it a little staying power. And Tyler, I think you're really going to be into this too.
Oh, boy.
If I say Gears of War, does that bring to mind? Yes, exactly. So they're going to have a ritual activity called Escalation Protocol. It will task you with fighting off waves of Hive, and new rewards will be available every week.
So it's Trials.
Trials of Osiris was PvP.
It's Trials, but PvE.
No, the other thing.
Trials of
what?
What's the thing where you like go down in the elevator?
Oh, that was the. God, I can't remember.
You know,
you had to use that drop item that you find, and it. There's those three domes, and they open up, and there's like different enemies. It was on Venus or something like that. Yeah, there was a part of one of the Destiny games you had to do that, and you could farm items.
So there'll be a Horde-esque mode.
Yes. There's going to be a new raid lair called Spire of Stars, but no new raid.
Did they say what? Well, of course, because the raid layers are essentially just little mini raids at this point. Did they say when the raid lair is coming out?
They did not.
It's probably going to be a week after, which means that our review will be a week after launch, like normal.
Destiny 2 Warmind is coming out on May 8th, for those
May
of you
8th.
Playing along at home.
And that'll be $20.
So it'll be a good reason to dust off your old Titan.
Also,
because that's the only good one.
Warlock, baby!
I'm a hunter.
Also, rumor has it that the Taken King equivalent, you know, their first huge expansion will be September something. But September. So if you have if you've been a little bit disappointed by these smaller DLCs, you know, Curse of Osiris and then Warmind is, they're not meant to be huge story DLCs, but just more or less these small pieces of content to keep you tied over. The big one should be coming in September. Guys, we have reached the end of the show. And while Kevin prepares his spicy game fact.
I think he's prepared.
I'm going to give you some Twitter and some social media stuff. If you guys want to follow us on Twitter, you can find us there. The official show Twitter is at SuperGameCast64. But if you want to speak to me or any of these guys personally, I'm at SGC64Matt.
I'm at GingerbeardMan.
Jesus Christ.
GingerBeard_.
Wait, hold on.
You put me on the spot, man.
I just want to say that he has not messed that up in maybe like 30 episodes.
He also goes second every single time.
You pointed at me and screwed me up. And there's a rhythm, Tyler. It's not a contest.
Okay, we'll try one more time.
I'm at GingerBeard_, beer like the beverage.
Age of Empires is 1180 on Steam right now.
Nice, dude.
I'm at TTramalio.
If you want to email us, you can email us at sgc64mail@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook. We have a Facebook discussion group now. I'm pretty sure it's the same URL.
Yeah, we changed over from a page to a group. If you're on the page, it will invite you to like the group as well. I don't know if it's the same URL. I don't know if I can check that.
Type in SuperGameCast64 on Facebook.
And you'll find us.
You'll find it.
We opted for a group so that we could have more audience interaction. And already we have seen many of you liking and seeing more of our posts, which is good.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We really appreciate it. Also, iTunes is a thing. I don't know. iTunes reviews have always been a thing. iTunes is a great place for people to listen to podcasts. So if you could, please, leave us a review on iTunes. Give us 5-star. Any sort of review. Any sort of review that you leave. Oh yeah, no. We're looking at the Facebook group. We don't have the custom URL yet. We'll see if we can do that. But any review you leave on iTunes, whether it's 1-star or 5-star, will be read off by our very own review robot 2K12 3000. And now that Tyler's back, we can have him bring over the dust and dust off the review robot. I haven't really checked. There might be there. I can't talk today. End of the show. Might be some iTunes reviews coming at you soon. You have something to say?
Yeah, is there anyone in the neighborhood that owns a truck that I could borrow? Review Robot is kind of big and doesn't come apart.
I'll bring over my, remember the monster truck, Bigfoot? The OG Bigfoot monster truck?
Yes.
I stole it from a Sasquatch.
You should leave him in your old house.
That's where he's at.
But keep an eye on him, because robots like to, you know, self-replicate.
Oh, no. We're going to come back and there's going to be a review about 2K12 4000.
That's gross.
Hey, plugs. If you want to read some reviews and stuff, read some of my writing, some of Kevin's writing, go to 90skid.com.
It's www.90skid.com.
We also have a YouTube channel. Just type in Super Gamecast 64 on YouTube. You'll find some streams there. I was doing some God of War 3 Remastered streaming.
God of what?
God of War. God of War, not your weird sex swallow thing, Kevin.
I'm just saying it's a thing. It's not mine.
Like, you deviant!
It's not mine. I just know that it's a thing. I'm surprised you guys don't know.
No, I don't. I'm not deep in the internet like that. That's why I am. I'm forgetting things, but yeah. And I just
Shout out to our idols, our the people we like and listen to, and I'm sure some of you do. Griffin and Justin McElroy both announced their resignation from Polygon today, so best of luck to them. Not like they need it, but still.
I'm curious if they're going to make another, if they're going to do their own game thing, or if this is just because they make so much money off podcasts they don't need to
anymore. I think they have other projects that they're trying to focus on. And
season two?
Yeah, I mean, they have so many different irons and so many different fires.
But just good job. I remember listening to Griffin when he was young and he was like 18, 19.
Back in like joystick days.
Yeah, coming up. It's good because these are not guys. If you've never listened to the McElroys.
Nobody deserves it more than them. We all know that.
They're very hardworking people and they did not cut any corners to get to the success that they now sit at.
I'd like to say hi to my friend Craig. Our friend Craig.
Hi, Craig.
He texted me during this and he's like, I texted you so that you would say my name on the podcast.
Hi, Craig.
Shout out to my brother who filled in the blanks on Trials of the Nine. My brother knows everything about Destiny. Trials it's kind of weird.
Hi, Jesse, because Jesse asked me when the new show was going up because he forgot about the new RSS feed. Anyways, while we're giving shout out to Shonen Trash. That's a anime podcast that is hosted by our good friends Lauren, Kevin, and Vince. If you guys like anime and anime shows and funny discussions, go check them out. You can find them on SoundCloud, iTunes, pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts.
We'd like to shout out to all of our friends in the Bim Bambino podcast group on Facebook and
so supportive.
My own adventure.
Well, yeah, but definitely them. But I was going to say something else. There's a small confederacy of podcasts.
Yeah, you might want to change the name together.
What?
Confederacy
is not an awful word.
It's not, and it's not what it's called. But it's called Midwest Pod Mess. So they're shout out to them.
Yeah, and then shout out once again to Choose My Own Adventure, Mark and his wife.
Hell yeah.
That's all we got for you guys. Thanks for listening. I think by this point they've reached level. Oh, you know what? I almost forgot.
You almost skipped me, man. It's cool.
Give me that topical shit.
Okay, so y'all know the comet. The comet that's on everybody's mind right now.
Ah,
the ones that are in space.
The one that's being
Fortnite comet.
The one that's being targeted at Tilted Towers, as far as everybody's concerned.
Wait, hold on a second. I don't play this stupid game.
Fortnite has a comet that has been coming at, has been shooting down towards Tilted Towers, and just recently, in a recent update, meteorites have started breaking off of that comet. But more interestingly, Kevin...
So, a user found out that when you aim at the comet, it makes a noise. It makes a droning noise.
Like an alien kind of noise.
When that noise was introduced to a spectrograph, which is a visualization of audio media... It was the outline of a character from Fortnite doing the Take the L dance.
It's literally like 10 blocks of animation of him doing the Take the L dance. You should...
Just look it up.
It's very... It might sound weird, but it's hilarious. Epic's been doing so much awesome
stuff
with Fortnite.
That's some deep, deep cut shit, though. That's hilarious.
That's so dumb.
You have to aim at it. You have to aim at it.
For a joke that might not pay off.
To aim at it, record the audio... Be able to use a spectrograph or some sort of spectrograph software and then run it through and realize that it's that dance. You look it up. They're doing amazing things with that. But yes, now at this point, we have gone through, we're in season four, right guys?
Yes.
Season four, episode three at this point, you have earned enough XP. I believe most of you have reached level three.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Good level three on SGC 64. Oh yeah, that's right, Tyler. Now we are awarding our listeners experience points. So if they learn... And listen, they get levels. Now, anybody who listened from season three, you guys are already level 50. So this is just like prestige level shit for you.
Yeah,
but you new listeners...
You lost all your stuff and started over at the beginning of the season.
You guys are level three. Imagine a world completely underwater. I got it in! Later, guys!